This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 31st, 2022, the seventh Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Fool, this night your soul is required of you. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and the Son. And the Holy Ghost. I am constantly and will continue to harp on the necessity of knowing Scripture. Part of knowing Scripture is not pulling a chapter or verse out to make a point. It is knowing the whole thing. I don't mean you have to memorize every page of the Bible. It is good to know context. And, you know, we are limited. Some of us have very limited time to read the Scriptures, but you can do things like on a Sunday, because it's always in the bulletin, read what the Scripture passage is, and go home and read, of course, and I always emphasize, make sure you read those portions that are left out. We'll kind of talk about that just a brief moment today. But you also have to know context of Scripture. Because if you don't know context, then things can become problematic. Weird emphases can come in. You can start, as some of our Protestant friends say, chapter and verse things that are not of the faith. They conform with what a particular group or person might believe, but I could justify anything I do from Scripture. Anything. There is a verse somewhere that I can pull out of context and say, well, Scripture says this, so this is reality of Scripture. You need no context. Today's gospel reading. Generally speaking, you hear this gospel reading, and all of a sudden it is followed by a homily on the evils of riches and, you know, being greedy and the necessity of giving. Are those things true? Yes. That's not the context. That is not the context at all. The word giving, problems with having too much stuff, none of that. It's not there. We have to know the context. Where does it start for us? One of the multitudes said to Jesus, why is there a multitude there? I mean, Jesus is pretty popular, but at the end of the day, when there's a multitude around, there's usually something big going on. Why is there a multitude? He's already talking about something. So what's he talking about when one of the multitudes says this? He's talking about spirituality and nothing but spirituality. He is talking about orientation. He's talking about getting your eyes and concerns off things in this world and having them on things above. That's what he's talking about. And as I said, nothing but that. He's brought up things about hypocrisy. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, guys who like to dress up and be called this, that, and the other thing, and say very long prayers and tell you what you're supposed to do, but they don't live it themselves. Hypocrisy, beware of that. Stop being concerned with things and problems and people in this world. I mean, he gets down to brass tacks. You know, even if somebody threatens to kill you, don't be afraid of somebody said to kill your body. Be worried about the one who can kill your body and throw your soul into hell. God. You are worth a lot to God. He goes on to say, there's not a sparrow that falls from the sky that your heavenly Father does not know it. And you are worth much more than any sparrow. How much more is he going to pay attention to you? And then he ultimately goes into this thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guiding us throughout our lives. Nothing but spirituality. Nothing but, hey, stop paying attention to things in this world. Not ignore them. Not, don't worry about saving for the future, this, that, or the other thing. But be indifferent toward that stuff. Be indifferent toward that stuff because that stuff is just that. It's stuff. And someday, it's going to go away. And or someday you might find yourself in a position where you can't enjoy your stuff. So this doesn't have to do with stuff. He just uses that as an example of things that keep us bound to this world. And he wants us to get our eyes off this. Then this guy poses a question. This guy throws out this deal about, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance of me. So if you know the context of what Jesus is talking about, this guy obviously, let us just say, doesn't get it at all. I'm talking about spirituality. Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. If Jesus did the face palm thing, there would be a holy face palm. This is like, come on, guy. Are you not paying attention to one thing I've said? Obviously not. Okay, there's a complete disconnect with this guy. Our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about eternal riches. It's kind of hard to get our heads around this whole deal with everything that Jesus Christ has, the Son of God, is also yours if you're in union with him. That whole co-heirs with Christ thing. Everything that God has is mine too. Yeah, that's what the scriptures say. This is what Jesus is talking about in a nutshell. And this guy starts lamenting over some stuff. It doesn't matter how big the inheritance is. He only wants half of it. Have him divide the inheritance with me. Okay, Jesus is talking about eternal riches and you want to be worried about a worldly sum. Actually, half thereof. There's a disconnect there. The Holy Spirit is putting us on notice that we need to start paying attention to where we need to have our attention and not on things that are fleeting. Because, I mean, what this guy thought, it's covetousness. He covets having half the inheritance. And the second reading today from Colossians chapter 3, mortify your members which are upon earth. Then it goes through a whole list of sins. Then it's a covetousness, which is the service of idols. That's a pretty big deal when you call covetousness idolatry. This guy is, he's for all intent and purposes, engaging in idolatry before our Lord because he's all caught up in this whole inheritance thing. And this is why I said, hold that thought for a second. I'm just going to briefly touch on it. You'll notice in your bulletins, Colossians chapter 3, verses such and such through 5, and then verse 9 through 10. What's in verse 6, 7, and 8? Well, let's just focus on verse 6. Because of such things, idolatry, God's wrath is coming. Oh, we couldn't ever say that in church because that would make God sound less gracious and merciful. Oh, no, it doesn't. He is still as gracious and merciful as you've ever been, but he's also righteous and just. This goes hand in hand with the context thing. We need to know the context, and we need to know everything that the Holy Spirit tells us about God and the consequences of our living outside of his will. Because then you become more focused. If you get a big warning flag like that, you have a tendency to pay a lot more attention to doing what is right and not the other. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. And I mean, even his answer, he answers a question with a question. Man, who has appointed me judge or divider over you? This is in no way, shape, or form our Lord Jesus Christ denying his role as judge. Every time we get together on a Sunday or a holy day, what do we hear in the creed? He will come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. Okay, so Jesus, well, that's a contradiction right there. Jesus says he's talking about his earthly ministry there and then. Because when Jesus clothed himself with flesh and dwelt among us, what was his mission? Obviously, to get us reoriented. And it was a very simple statement that he made, as did John the Baptist that came before him. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I'm going to talk about the repentance stuff because that would necessitate talking about sin, and we can't talk about that. Then the gospel is for naught. It's for absolutely nothing, because that's what the gospel's for, to save us from sin, to put us in the right direction, to focus us on things that are eternal. That's what it's about. Man, who has appointed me judge over you? He's showing us by his word and deed and by his, that his work of salvation is not aimed at solving the many social and family problems that crop up in society. They're going to happen. His mission is redemption. It's salvation. It's getting people to heaven. It's not social justice. This is what I mean, and this is where I'm going to go with this whole thing, because most Catholics who are under 50, 55 years old view the church, and it's not their fault, because this is the presentation anymore, that the church is a social justice organization. It was never established as that, ever. Jesus Christ once ever in Scripture talks about anything that you could construe as social justice. Somebody actually brings it up to him one time. Social justice, oppression. People in our day and age don't know oppression. How about, you know, Roman soldiers walking up and down the street, you look at them wrong, they'll cut your head off, and you know who they answer to? No one. What'd you get the guy's head off for? Jew looked at me wrong. Okay, that's it. Yeah, that's oppression. And actually, somebody brings it up to you. Hey, Jesus, what about Pilate and the blood that he mingled with the people he executed with the sacrifices in the temple? Jesus, well, because this is oppression, let us start marching and having demonstrations and burning things down. No. Jesus could even say, well, you know, Pilate's a bad guy, but, you know, you go, what about Pilate? Jesus doesn't even address the issue at hand. And he said, do you think that those that were killed were any more sinners than anybody else in Jerusalem? But I tell you, unless you repent, you too will so likewise perish. Wow. Wow. No condemnation of the government, no condemnation of wrongful executions. You need to repent, because guess what? You're going to die someday. And you better be ready for it. That's Jesus. That's the gospel. Isn't that repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand and make sure you give to poor people? We're not supposed to be caught up in things in this world. Again, it's not ignoring, and there's no way, shape, or form we shouldn't give to poor people. You should. It is mandatory. It is imperative as your life as a Christian that you don't let people be in want. That's part and parcel of being a Christian. But the church's job is not social justice. That's why this Holy Spirit says little things to St. Paul, like, set your minds to things above and not things of the earth. Or like Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I chose you out of this world. This is why the world hates you. It's like just the opposite anymore. The church is going out of her way, bending over backwards, scraping and bowing to the world so they like us. They're going to take little things out of Scripture, little things like the wrath of God, because people in the church don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Tough. Tough. It's the Word of God. He wants you to hear it. It is malfeasance to keep it from you. That's a reality. I've always heard the church, you know, we're supposed to do this and do that. You're supposed to repent. You're supposed to repent and be baptized and live a life of sanctity. That's what you're supposed to do. And that life of sanctity will necessitate giving to poor people. That's why you don't have to preach about it, because that's just part and parcel of our Catholic life. Our gospel is not a gospel of social justice, ever. When he talks about the poor, blessed are the poor. And the poor in spirit. There are a lot of really rich people that are poor in spirit, that are basically destitute in spirit. That's a reality. And when Jesus talks about the poor, guess what? He's talking about people who could die at any moment because they have no food, they have no shelter, no one is there to provide for them. That's a poor person. In this society, we really don't get it. We don't get it. I mean, when I was growing up, that's a poor section of town. That's a poor section of town. Oh, they got kind of raggedy clothes. Their houses don't look nice. That's a poor section. And then I went to Afghanistan. Wow. Those people would kill people to have what poor people have over here. Jesus is talking about the poor. He's not talking about somebody with a cell phone. He's not talking about somebody that's morbidly obese. That's not a poor person. All right, we've got this really skewed view of what a poor person is. A poor person is anybody that doesn't have as much as you. No, it's not. There is nothing wrong with having money. A lot of it, if you do the right thing with it, because then it's a blessing for you and it's a blessing for the church. So this is not a condemnation of having stuff. It is a, hey guys, be indifferent to that. Because the rich is a person. It doesn't matter. Someday, that's going to somebody else. Someday, and or, they are going to be in a position physically where they can't enjoy their stuff. They might not even know it's there. That's what Jesus is talking about. Get ready for those days. Because that's going to be the telling factor. You know, look, we cannot be this guy who, you know, we come to Mass every week and we hear this, that, the other thing, and then we come up with something completely out of context. The Lord, have the guy divide. I'm not talking about that. So why do people come into the church and hear about social justice, social justice, social justice, when Jesus never talked about that? The church has become this guy in a lot of places, not everywhere. It's about indifference. And indifference doesn't, again, mean ignore. It just means prioritize. St. John Chrysostom, speaking on this verse, riches we ought to consider indifferent. I can't harp enough about the church is not supposed to be involved in that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, St. Paul says, no man being a soldier of God entangleth himself with secular business. That's clerics. The church should not be involved, entangled. Not ignore, but it should not be entangled with them. Never let them influence what we do as a church, but they have tremendously influenced who we are as a church. This is just a Salvation Army with collars in a lot of places. And it's not supposed to be that. Several years ago, oh, isn't it great we made showers in Rome so all the poor people could take a shower. Okay, then the people who pick your pockets outside of St. Peter's are clean. Okay, you got a bunch of clean sinners walking around. That's not what the church is about. I got no problem making showers for them. Make them sit through an hour of catechism and then a mass before they take one. How about that? Oh, we could do that because some of them might be Muslims. Good. Have them sit through catechism and through a mass. They can't receive communion, though. How about that? At least you've tried. And that's the job. Go. Tell them what I told you. If they don't, knock the dust off your sandals. But try. Try. This is reality. This is about not being solicitous for things in this world. St. Athanasius, again, speaking on this passage. A person who lives his life as if he were going to die every day, given our life is uncertain, will not sin. For good fear extinguishes most of the disorder of our appetites. Whereas he who thinks he has a long life ahead of him will easily let himself be dominated by pleasures. So it's a matter of orientation. Orient yourself to the things of heaven. And this is a kind of a wet blanket, but it's true. Orienting yourself of things to heaven. How do we get there? We die. I'm just saying. So we got to get ready for that. Because our Lord, after everything is over and done with this, our Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He'll give you everything you need. Little footnote. We think we need a lot of stuff. You need very little. You need like shelter and water and food. That's need. Most of us have that. There's this other thing called wants. That is not a need. And I'll point fingers at myself. I have a whole lot more than I need. And I want some more. That's just me. You know? Little confession there. But I also realize that although I might want other stuff, and I am going to endeavor to get some of these other things that I want, I know at the end of the day that I might wake up tomorrow or not wake up tomorrow and not be able to use them. And that's my priority. I like the stuff, but, you know, and this is what Jesus is talking about. Notice he does not say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and give to poor people and all the... No, it's not there because it's not what he's talking about. That's the gospel. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you, like caring for poor people. this will be added to you. No professed Catholic would ever let anybody that they knew that was, you know, going to lose their home or something do that. If there was anything they could do about it, or at least help a little bit, would not try. That's our faith. Our faith is trying to help other people, but for the glory of God and the advance of His kingdom. That's the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.